Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for March 11th. I'm Sanka Price, and our producer today is Michelle Brathwaite, and hers will be the first voice you'll hear when you call us today at 4341790. You can also participate in today's program via WhatsApp at 266-4862. On my way here, Cashy was making the point, a very relevant point, about these WhatsApp messages or messages on social media that are conveying some really alarmist reports about what's happening with the coronavirus. I deleted one myself this morning where the person was making a number of claims, which I obviously wouldn't repeat. I remember several years ago when we were at the height of HIV and everybody was scared about HIV and AIDS and that type of thing, and the level of responsibility that was asked for. I can tell you, based on my work at that time and my interaction from those years with the professionals at the Ministry of Health, when I say the professionals, I mean from the chief medical officer, and the senior medical officers and the medical officers and nurses and some of the other specialists, you have a core of solid professionals who care about their work, who care about Barbados. And I don't normally put my neck on the line for anybody, but I'm telling you, these people know what they're doing, and I would strongly suggest to you, all of you who hear my voice, that you need to listen to what these professionals are saying. You also need to only consult the websites, like the GIS website, that gives you alerts. And the news there is legit. It is not a lot of inflammatory nonsense. And you need to listen to that. You need to go that way. These things, this idea of sending messages of this body who was my friend at the hospital say X, Y, and Z, and that is nonsense. All it's doing is creating a lot of unnecessary panic and anxiety in this society. We got to stop it. And I really, really wish, instead of threatening people with a charge of some sort, that we actually follow through and charge people. Because people need to understand that there are times you just cannot just run your mouth, or in this case, run your fingers, just send out silly messages. It all you're doing is creating anxiety. What about that elderly person who just, all they've heard of coronavirus is that, oh, people who have who are elderly, or those who have underlying symptoms of some sort, underlying illnesses of some sort, those are the ones who are most susceptible to the coronavirus. These people will be scared, naturally. And then here you are, as a younger person, you're saying, but, you know, these people at the government saying this and that, but a friend tell me that a friend of his say, and you blurt it out. That elderly person may not immediately react to you, but they begin to feel it. I have elderly parents, so I know what I'm talking about. You just don't do these things, and we need to stop it. Anyhow, one of the things that I would like us to do is, maybe you can tell me today, what do you think about our preparations in case COVID-19 comes here uninvited? So, anyhow, I've got a full slate of calls already, so let me just go to the phone lines first and foremost. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Go right ahead, sir.
I'd like to discuss two topics. One is increasing the water supply in Barbados, and the other one is about a vaccine for the virus. Now, in increasing the water supply in Barbados, I would go to a piece of rab land and construct a number of septic tanks and sink a number of suck wells. I would install 2 shut-off valves at the South Coast Storage Station, 1 to the outflow to the sea, and we are going to run a pipe from the station to the septic tanks in Christchurch. We are then going to divert the treated sewage to the septic tanks. We are going to channel the liquid to the suck wells, and then the liquid permeates through the coral. It should eventually return to the aquifers as water. We are also going to use trucks to convert, to transport the treated sewage from Bridgetown to Christchurch. What's your take on that?
First of all, I'd like to compliment you for coming with the idea. It shows that you have at least sat down and tried to think it right through. I am not an engineer, so I cannot give you an informed comment. But what I would say, that the first thing that strikes me about your idea is, well, there are 2 things. Where would you locate this septic tank?
And Rab Land in Christchurch.
You did say that, Rab Land in Christchurch. And that's why I asked where.
All the Rab Land I have in Christchurch.
All right.
On Rab Land, close to the South Coast, the which thing.
Good, because it would have to be close there. And based on what I know of Christchurch, there is not much Rab Land, quote unquote Rab Land, that would be accessible close to that. But that's just my first thought. The second thought is the costing of it. The costing will be a major factor in the sense that, I think the construction of the tank and the digging suck wells will be the cheapest part, is the whole engineering aspect of the pipes running from one place to the next. These are all aspects that would have to, somebody would have to sit down and crunch the numbers. So
I think you can get a loan from a CDB.
Yeah, but maybe even if you get 10 loans, it doesn't make a difference. Somebody got to crunch the numbers.
Okay.
So all I'm saying, as I said, I cannot, since I don't have any engineering expertise whatsoever, I can't comment on that. But the fact that you would have sat down and said, hey, isn't this possible? And try to think it through. This is the type of thinking that more of us need to do. Whether it works or not is not the point. The point is that you at least made an effort to come up with a solution that you think is possible and say, hey, engineers, look at this. Why can this not work? And that is our thinking that we as a people need to do at all times. Your second point, coronavirus.
But, I'm saying that instead of letting all the outflow now go to the sea, it's being wasted there.
Yeah, it's a quick fix, but it's not. It's a quick fix, but a very expensive fix at the same time. Whatever you do with this sewage situation is going to be expensive. What you have to do is to work on a plan that can be done quickly, not too expensive, and one that will not damage the environment too much, because whatever you do, it is going to cost money, lots of money, a few million dollars. There's no way to get around it. And all the while you're putting this solution in place, you still will, the actual sewage system would still have to be working 24/7.
Well, so it would be going to the sea. The outflow would still be going to the sea.
Yeah, that's the point I'm making.
Going to one there. So.
Yeah. So it's not an easy fix. I don't envy those guys at all. But the whole point is that it's something that has to be done. Millions of dollars has to be spent. Millions. There's no way that we can get around that. And if, in fact, there was a situation in Miami.
We have seen the number of times that the sewer system there has ruptured.
Yeah, and the millions of dollars that they have to spend to even just as a quick fix to get the sewage from flowing on the streets, you know. So it is not an easy answer, and it's not an easy fix, and it's going to be very, very expensive. And anyhow, your second point.
China has had the largest number of infections of this virus.
Mm-hmm.
It has also has the largest number of people who have recovered from this virus.
Mm-hmm.
Not so?
Yeah.
Right. So, don't you think, because of the antibodies
that
are in these persons who have recovered, you don't think the probability is greater of China being the first country to develop the vaccine?
It's possible, but at the same time, again, like I said for the first question that you asked, since I'm not a medically trained person, I don't know. But what you're saying sounds possible. I am sure, of course, that if that could be developed, that somebody, or I should say some group of people, would be working on it feverishly, because quite frankly, this virus has severely impacted the Chinese economy. And it's now affecting the entire world economy. You know, we saw yesterday at the meeting held how it is going to possibly impact our tourism sector. But you would know from just reading that all over the world, airlines are just cutting back because people have stopped traveling. You know, I was watching, I can't remember which, I think it's CNN, the amount of people were asking a question like, is it better for me to drive to this other part in the United States rather than fly? Those types of questions are being asked. So when you get those types of questions being asked, it tells you about the fear that this virus has caused.
All right. China had one of the most robust economies in Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So isn't it possible that some country, in an attempt to damage the Chinese economy, could have manufactured this virus and released it in China?
I can't comment on that. That you're in the realm of real speculation and conspiracy. But, you know, one thing I never fails to amuse me, quite frankly, is how we always come up with some conspiracy theory. But I have learned that sometimes something that may seem not impractical or impossible or highly unlikely, after years and documents are released and whatnot, you know, the Secret Service Act, the Secret Service, what is it called? In England, they have, for 30 years, they keep the information or the secret, different secrets, and then they release them after 30 years, okay? And when you see some of the revelations, you realize that some of the things that would have been said by some of the actors involved in whatever the situation was actually true, that there were these shadows, for want of a nice term, who were there doing all sorts of things to make to bring about the bad situation within the country. So who knows? But based on the science so far, it does not seem that that is what happened. As I said, based on the science so far that we've heard, but who knows?
Okay, then. Thanks a lot, Sandra.
You have a great day, sir. You're on the air. Good morning. You're on the air.
Morning.
How are you today, sir? You sound very low, man. What happened to you?
I'm on the air.
Yes, you're on the air. Bright, beautiful Wednesday morning. Sun shining bright. I'll say warm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a little cough, so that way I don't say any virus, though.
Well, even if you have a little cough, it can't come through the phone. But remember, when you cough, and this is for everybody, when you cough, you know, and you know, people, you can just put it right into the corner of your elbow, your arm. Mm-hmm. You cough into that, and you you sneeze the same way, and wash your hands. Just follow the rules of basic hygiene that the authorities are putting out there. Just follow those rules and we should be fine. We should be able to contain this. Okay? Anyhow, yeah. Your question, sir.
Yeah, I agree. College, so it could be created by some, you don't know, but you could remember the Zika mosquito and the city, but you love to create a mosquito to get rid of mosquito.
Yeah, I've read all of that.
So it could be a possibility too.
Yes,
that it could be created by some some country also to cripple the economy in China also. Okay. But anyway, then we talk about all the employment situation in Barbados and talking to the young people and saying what about people like 50 years and over that still able to work.
Okay. Just let me read to you before we go on. I was making the point about this this story I had heard on the WhatsApp, and it's just been drawn to my attention that there's a press statement out, and it says the attention of the government has been drawn to a bogus news story circulating on the internet stating that a Barbadian family of three has died from the coronavirus. The undated story from a source identifying itself as News NT states that the deaths were announced by the QEH. However, Barbadians should note that the story is entirely untrue, and up to tonight, which is last night, no one in the country had tested positive for COVID-19, neither resident nor visitor. And then it goes on. But these are the types of things that I'm talking about that we have got to stop sending around, because there's absolutely no evidence of it. And as I said, I don't like to put my neck on the block for anything or anybody, but the professionals at the Ministry of Health, from the chief medical officer right down to all the other skilled specialists, they know what they're doing and they will get the job done. They are Barbadians too. They have family here and they will do the necessary. And I think that what the government is trying to do in terms of making sure that we have enough capacity. We can argue, maybe they've been a little long, but that's always conjecture.
About 12 months. But they said they have about 12 months more to sell the full vaccine, right?
But the whole point is that I think we're heading in the right direction. But we have to listen to the professionals. Anyhow, sir, you were asking a question.
But the employment only for young people and not for people at 50 and over that are still able to work.
What your question is about?
Why? Would it be a saying about young people and what about people that are still able to work and still unemployed?
So that's an interesting question from the perspective that it's something that continues to happen, not only here, but all of the world, where after you pass a certain age, 45, 50, you're somewhat sidelined. That is unless you are like a professional of some sort where you can go and work in your own consultancy and generate your own business. It is a major, major concern.
Do these people still have people, children or so, families to take care of? And even young people still the same way?
Yes, that is true. But that is true from the perspective of the individual. But what about from the perspective of the employer, what is he or she looking for? You would argue, as you being or an individual who is 50 plus, for example, would argue that I have X amount of experience to bring to the job, and I would be a better employee, be much more stable, I'd be definitely more punctual, etc., etc., etc. And all of that might be true. In fact, I'm sure all of that would be true. However, as an employer, if you are looking, depending on the type of job, first of all, that is being offered, you may prefer to have someone who is younger because that person is
more flexible, more something to cope with the job.
Those are nice words. I'm not going to use such nice words. And yes, that is true what you're saying, okay? But for some unscrupulous employers, it's a case where you could basically really, you know, not pay attention to these young people as much. You don't have to pay them as much. Because why could pay a 19-year-old or 20-year-old just out of school and who just looking for some money in the pocket? I can't pay you at 50. Your experience has to be taken into account as well. So I can't pay you. If I plan to pay $1,200, for example, because for a young person, that may be enough to keep them engaged and get the job done. Mm. But I really know that if I choose this gentleman, and he's about 50, he has experience and whatnot, and he would bring a certain maturity and experience, and certainly skill and know-how. Whether it's packing shelves or selling shoes or whatever, that experienced person would have
And the job would still get done.
Yeah, but job would get done better in my view.
I didn't like any longevity person.
Right? But at the same time, because I don't want to spend more money to do that, I would then choose the younger person. I would then train them to do what I want them to do. Okay? And so some employers take that route. I necessarily don't agree with it personally. Mm-hmm. Okay, but again, I have a bias because I am 50 plus. So I obviously have a bias here.
And we all about employing people, not only young or old. It's about employing people, trying to get up the unemployment situation.
Yeah.
Curbing it.
If you don't mind, are you being impacted by such a scenario?
Yes, because application, are you still want to be involved in employment, and are you getting no vacancies and things still? Mm.
If you don't mind saying, how old are you?
I'm 55.
Oh, you're young still, man. 55. But no, I mean, when I say young, I'm older than you. But at 55, what sort of work would you be looking for?
I do general work. I do painting and things like that. Even selling shoes. Anything I do once I could get it done. Mm-hmm.
What advantage do you think an employer would have in hiring you as against hiring my 20-year-old?
Well, as we just discussed it, that's not probably the things that you just said you might be looking at.
That he can pay my 20-year-old. Yeah. Next thing to nothing. Bus fare and lunch money. Or a little fat money in between.
Or you make me feel like I ain't capable because I'm older. Mm-hmm. And I go in 3 doors or so.
Yeah.
And he no coming and he might be staying.
Yeah. So how long have you been out of work?
A few years now, but I do little jobs in a company that calls me when they need me.
Jobs in between?
Yeah.
But I mean, in your day-to-day life in terms of paying bills and whatnot, what is it like for you?
It's little problems sometimes, but food and things. So I know expensive food is in Barbados, mm-hmm. right now, but it might not last long.
Yeah.
You're going to the market with $100 and two. You come over with 2 bags and your money gone.
Mm-hmm. But you're a family man, though?
I live with my mother. I'm still trying to take care of
her. Oh, dear. And she obviously would be a pension if you're 55.
Yes. I don't want to depend. I want to depend on myself to help myself.
And what about rent? You pay rent or the house?
No, only bills.
Only bills.
And I know even with the cleanup program, I know that they have problems down here in Black Rock, right? The minister promised to clean up the area next door with rats and mosquitoes and things about the year some now. And nothing even being done yet. You always say the bobcat breakdown and things, and waiting for the bobcat. My ministry is for the works.
I see. Anyway, all I could do is ask you to hang in there and just keep on trying. Yesterday at the press conference at the Hilton, when they were talking about this whole approach to COVID, the Prime Minister announced that a number of projects will soon be starting.
Right.
And all I can do is hope for yourself
right.
and others who have been seeking employment that
right.
you can get a job.
I was talking to the NCC too and said that they should create more projects for employed people and things.
Yeah. All right, sir. Thank you very much for sharing with us. And have yourself a good day. You're on the air. This is Sanka Price along with Michelle Brathwaite, 434-1790. And just reading here from our WhatsApp, this person says, "You guys keep letting in these cruise ships that other countries turn away with people from ground zero countries, and then telling the people of Barbados that the symptoms these people exhibited are flu-like symptoms, that they tested negative for coronavirus. Will Barbadians fall for that line every time?" That's one opinion. This other person says, "A blessed good morning, sir. Can you find out for me, please, how I can obtain a wash your hands sign?" Thank you. A wash your hands sign. Quite frankly, I can't remember ever seeing a wash your hands sign. But the hardware stores usually have these signs. But I can't remember seeing a wash your hands sign. But I know that you can easily make one, just sit down at a computer and type out the words and print them out and stick it together. That would be one idea. Anyhow, let's take a commercial break, and after that, we'll be right back with Brass Tacks.